Book of Amos.
Okay, Amos 7:1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth, and lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small.
And now God is showing him a vision. He could see that grasshopper or the grass-eating creatures are created in front of him. He saw it, God is creating them, not one, billions of them. I don't know if they were coming from the ground or they're coming from somewhere, but he was just looking and all of a sudden, from nowhere, this grasshopper came. So he saw God had just created these billions of grasshoppers to destroy the land of Israel. And so when he saw that, not only he saw those grasshoppers, but they start eating everything. And when they start eating everything, he saw completely grass is gone and everything is gone and this everything is finished. And so he start thinking, if this really happens, Israeli people will be completely destroyed. So he start crying to God. He is saying, Lord, forgive me. Now the king is committing sin. Israeli people are committing sin. We saw in several earlier chapters. And now this man is interceding for these Israeli people. He said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive us. What these people are doing, they don't know. But I am here to warn these people. They are not listening, but you are showing me these people's craft will be finished and everything will be destroyed. This is the second craft comes, and the first time the king's people gathered everything for the king, and now this was for the Israeli people. So the king is not going to die, he's not going to be hungry, but the people will be hungry. So the Amos is concerning about people, what will happen to these people if everything finishes. So he is as a middle person or the middleman between God and these Israeli people and pleading to God, Lord, please change your mind. Please don't do this thing. Israel is a small country, or we are small people. We are not great nation yet. So please forgive. Let's read the verse 3.
The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord.
God didn't commit any sin. God did not do anything wrong. But when the Amos prayed, God changed his mind. God says, I'm not going to do it. I showed you, and God wanted to see how much Amos loves his people. Even though he is talking to them that God is going to destroy you, and God telling Amos to say whatever he was saying. But when he saw the destruction in a vision, Israeli people will be completely destroyed. So he said, oh Lord, please forgive me. Please forgive our people. And change your mind. And God says, okay, I will change my mind. And then he sees another vision. Verse 4.
Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small.
Now again, God says, okay, I'm going to show you another vision. And when he saw the vision, the fire came, and fire came through the sea, and the depth of the sea was completely dried up, all the rivers, and everywhere where the water was completely dried out. And this man started thinking, if the deep water is dried up, what kind of fire is this? So if this fire comes to the land, and everything will be destroyed. So once more he's asking God, God, please, don't do this. Change your mind. I don't want to see these Israeli people completely wipe out from the earth. Please change your mind. And God said, okay, let's read the verse 6.
The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, saith the Lord God.
Then again he says, Lord repented, but I believe that God changed his heart. God changed his mind and he said, okay, I will not do it. So this is the lesson for us. Sometime God will show you vision. Sometime God will show you, give you the dream. Sometime God will show you something from the word of God. Or sometime you see something, somebody's doing something wrong. And then you, as a child of God, supposed to be a mediator between God and that person. You should be saying, Lord, I don't want that person to be destroyed. I'm going to pray. And you start praying, God can change the mind. We have seen in the word of God, you know, Jonah. Jonah went against God, and what God is saying, he doesn't want to do what God is saying. He wants to do what he wants to do. But when he went to the fish belly, we already studied, and then he repented and said, Lord, forgive me. I will do your will. I will go to the temple. I will listen to you. And God saved him. Now, the same time he was going to Nineveh, Nineveh's people were very bad people. But the word of God says they repented. If you read Jonah chapter 3 verse 10, they repented. So when they confessed their sins and they repented, God forgave them and changed his heart, changed his mind, and did not destroy the Nineveh. From that we know, Abraham also, you remember, God was going to destroy the Sodom and Gomorrah. He pleaded him from 50 to up to 10. And God says, okay, as you say, I'll do it. If he would have said, if there is a one person, will you destroy the Nineveh? He would have said, okay, for the one person's sake, I will not destroy. But he stopped at the 10. The point I'm making, we are the mediator between God and man. Jesus Christ is the high priest. And Jesus Christ came into this world. He died for you and for me. And now he is a mediator between God and man. The same way as the pastor or the head of the house, he is the priest of that family. He has responsibility for his children, his wife, and his family. If somebody is knocking at the door in the middle of the night, and you see somebody is knocking, you don't tell your child, could you go and who is knocking, or your wife. If you are the head of the house, you go. And you give your life for your family. Jesus says he gave his life for his church, so the husband should give his life for his wife and his family. When you see the problem coming to your church members, your family members, what do? You pray for them. Paul says, I pray for you day and night with tears. So the pastor has to pray. You don't know how we pray, but each and every day, we remember our church members. If the hurricane is coming, if the rain is coming, or destruction is coming, we pray and say, Lord, we want our church member to be safe. I don't know how many pastors are praying for their church members. But I am not concerned about money. I have seen people are giving money weekly, $250 to $260 per week. But I did not worship them and I did not follow them. So the point I'm making, money comes, money goes. But you concern about souls. You concern about your people. If they're doing something wrong, you should be interceding. Say, Lord, I do not want destruction coming to these people. Sometimes God shows us what's going to happen, what God is going to do certain people. I go and warn them sometimes. This is what God is saying. One time I saw one lady, she was going after a man. This man was our pianist. He used to come and play the organ. As soon as that girl comes, he will leave the piano playing and he will go out. This girl will keep her Bible and everything and run after him. And I saw this several times and I talked to those people, what's going on? You come and she runs and she comes and you run. So he said, you know, the story like this. My parents, they told us, you're going to marry this girl. When this girl was 5 years old, I promised her I'm going to marry her. And now she's 25 years old. She got a disease. And I don't want to marry her. But she said, I waited for you up to 25. Now who is going to marry me? You marry me. And so there was a problem between them. I started praying for them. And God showed me the vision. And I explained to her. And she did not listen. Then next time I got another vision, I told her, I said, you will be in your deathbed and you will be sending your brother on a bicycle to call Pastor Peter. That will be the last day of your living in this world. And exactly happened. And she sent her brother. When he came in, he said, you know, my sister is dying. So I went there. I said, sister, what can I do for you? She said, just pray that I will die in peace. I said, you don't want to live anymore? She said, no. I am living for? I said, you will live for that man. And so if you die, what will happen to him? She said, I don't care what happens to him. I want to go to heaven. I said, now that man is not in your heart anymore, right? She said, no. I said, then invite Jesus Christ into your heart. If you invite Jesus Christ in your heart, he will change your heart and he will heal you and you will be never be the same. I prayed for her and God completely healed her instantly. When she was healed, you can see the long hair up to her knees and a beautiful face and everything. And the man came and asked her, will you marry me again? And they are happily married today. So the point I'm making, God gave me grace to pray for these people and want these people just like Amos. I did not want this young lady and this young man to go to hell. And so I prayed for them, and today they are happily married. The point I'm making here, the Amos is praying, asking God, Lord, I know these people are bad people, but don't destroy them completely. Give them some chance. So God said, okay, I'm not going to send the fire. I'll change my mind. Let's read the verse 7. Amos chapter 7, verse 7.
Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore.
Now here God is showing him another vision. This time God is building the wall. And God is building the wall with a plumb line. And as he builds, he is going up and up, and now he is standing on the top of the wall and the plumb line in his hand. What God was showing him, I have built this Israel nation on my own. I have given the Israeli people grace. You just heard a few minutes ago, Jacob saw the ladder going from that Bethel, and he is the one named that place Bethel, and he is the one said, house of God, I will worship here. And but we saw God says, don't go to the Bethel and don't go back to these places where you worshiping idols. The house of God they made like a den of thieves. You remember Jesus Christ comes to the temple and he said, you made this house of God as the den of thieves. And that's what the people were doing in the Old Testament. They thought this is the place. This is the place where God is. So we can put any God here and God will still bless. Not because this is a church and you start in the church, you start doing some kind of a bazaar, God will be there. Because this is a church doesn't mean that God is there. Church is you and me. We are the church of God. We are the temple of God, not this building. This building was an office before we came. And now we made this church. If we move from here and go somewhere else, this can be something else again. So God wants you, not the place. When God said to Moses, lift up the serpent, and people were bitten by serpent, and he says, tell the people, look up and leave. And they start thinking, this is foolish thing. But they start looking up and they leave. Then Jesus Christ says to Nicodemus, did you know that God told Moses to lift up the serpent and people leave? The same way, when they lift me up, I will draw man towards me. And he didn't understand what he was trying to say. He is saying, I will be hanging on that cross and people will look at me and they will leave. But the what happened in the Old Testament, people start thinking, hey, this is the Moses serpent. So they start making idols and start worshiping that idol pole. And then one king comes and destroys everything and he says, you didn't understand the will of God. The point I'm making here, now the God is saying, I have built you and you are my people. The plumb line is in my hand. You know why the plumb line? If you saw some builders, they put the plumb line and they built. The plumb line shows you that the bricks are straight. If the plumb line is not there, then the bricks will go crooked and you would not know. So they put the plumb line and then move the plumb line like this and see everything is in line. So God says, I have created you and I have built you and I have set the plumb line. The plumb line shows you you cannot go wrong when God sets some rules and regulations. So God gave the Ten Commandments. God gave all kinds of rituals to do and obey him. And so go according to the will of God. If you don't do it, you will be punished. That's what he is saying. And I'm setting the plumb line. And I'm not going to pass by again. You remember Exodus chapter 12, verse 23, when they put the blood sign on their doorpost, and God says, I'm going to pass by, I will be passed over, and then when I'm going to go to Egypt, and I kill those, their firstborn, but not yours. But now he's saying in this verse 8, I will not again pass by them anymore. What he's trying to say, this time I'm putting a plumb line. The Paul is saying, I'm the master builder and I'm building the temple for God, to house for God. And so he's saying Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And so you're built upon that cornerstone. If there is no cornerstone, there won't be any building. You'll keep on going straight line. So there has to be cornerstones. So the cornerstones makes one building. And so Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 maybe, he says, we are the living stone and built upon one of another. Means one living stone with another living stone. Born again person with a born again person. And that's the way the church grows. If there is no born again people and the church become bazaar, go to the Salvation Army or some other churches. They have big church. They have big members. But there is no doctrine. There is no teaching. There is no holiness. There is no power of God. So they are like a bazaar. But when you are born again people, you are built upon one after another, and that becomes the habitation for God. So God is saying, I am trying to build you, and if you are not doing according to my will, then I'm going to destroy you. Verse 9.
And the high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words.
When God says to the prophet, preach, you remember this prophet came from Judah and came to Israel. And God says, go and talk to my people, Israeli people. When you say my people, God did not want this Amos to go and destroy the people. He says, I'm sending you to my people. So we are his people. And if you are the children of God, and God is trying to punish you or correct you, don't get angry. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, he says, if you are the bastards, I will not be punishing you. But you are my children, that's why I'm correcting you. And St. John chapter 15, Jesus Christ says, I prune you, the branches, so they can bring more fruits. But if you don't like pruning, then you are not going to bear more fruits. People don't like scolding. People don't like correction. They want whatever they want to do, let them do it. And there's some parents, they say, oh, we love our children and let them do whatever they want to do, and someday they will come to their senses. Oh no, they will not come to their senses, they will go to hell. And so it is parents' responsibility to correct their children. Correcting the children is not easy thing. They might hate you when they are young, but when they become old, they will say, my father was right, my mother was right, and I was wrong. So this is what happens. Here, Amos is sent to the children of Israel. He is sent from Judah to Israel. This Amos says, hey, I was not a prophet. Why God sent Amos? He was the herdsman. He says herdsman means he can taking care of the cows and bulls and everything. And one time he says that he is the shepherd. So that means he has sheep and goats. In India, where I came from, we had the sheep, we had the goats, and we had the cows and bulls. So that we don't keep the bulls and cows together. One, we keep the goats separate and cows separate. And one day I used to go and take care of the goats. Another day I might be going and taking care of the cows. So the point I'm making, this man was a busy man. Not only he was taking care of the goats and sheep and cows, but he had another farming business. He was planting the sycamore trees and taking the fruits of sycamore, and he was a busy man. And so I was thinking, why God called this man? Why there was no other priests? There were so many priests. But the priests, when they don't do the priest job, then somebody has to tell them. If the pastor is not doing pastor job, then some other person should say, pastor, you are not doing right. You have seen some of the churches, mega churches, and pastor is doing wrong thing and nobody tells them that he is doing wrong. And then when this thing goes out of the church and goes to the public hand, and then the news people bring the news, that's the time they say, oh, we are going to do something. The point I'm making, in the book of Ezekiel, it says, if the righteous man says, I'm a righteous, and start committing sin, his righteousness I will not consider. So you go and tell that man, you are a righteous man, but God is going to punish you. We heard a few minutes ago, judgment starts from the house of God. God is not going to let the church members or let the pastors or let the Christians go because they are a believer. Believers what? Believers in God. Believers in Jesus. If you don't believe what God says and you start doing what you want to do, you will be punished. So we have to walk according to the will of God. If you don't walk according to the will of God, and then that's the time the word of God says the judgment will start from home. Judgment will start from the house of God. So here the man of God is sent because all the other priests are not doing right thing. And now you will see here, there is another priest comes and try to stop the Amos. Let's read. Verse 11.
For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O thou seer, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread, and prophesy there. But prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel, and it is the king's court.
Now here, this Amaziah is the priest of Bethel. Who appointed him? God already condemned the Bethel. Bethel was the place of sin and corruption. And this man is the priest of Bethel. What the Baptist people say, they say whatever you commit sin, doesn't matter. As long as you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your sins are forgiven automatically. You don't have to even confess. And even though you die in sin, you will go to heaven. That is absolutely wrong teaching. And people like that kind of teaching because when they're living in sin and they don't want to change, and somebody tells them, that's okay. God understands that we are sinners, and that's why Jesus died, and we will be all right. And so they are sending people to hell. They are not saying, repent. The word of God says, repent. John the Baptist came and said, repent. Christ also said, the repent, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Peter said, repent. Paul says, repent. Each and every man of God tells people to repent. But if you don't repent, and you say, oh, I repented my sins 10 years ago, and I don't have to repent it again, then if you're living in sin, you are going to die. The word of God says, wages of sin is death. Your wages are sin, you get the paycheck, it's death. But he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I tell people, if you made a mistake, you get up and say, Lord, I'm sorry, and start all over again. But if you say, oh, I lied today, and this is all just the morning, and until night, I don't know how many lies I will be doing. So let me do all the lies today. And when I go home, and I'll ask God forgiveness. But those are the people not make it home. They die on the street. Bible says only righteous people, they get out of house and they come back home. But the sinners, they go, they don't come back. Sometimes they have food, we pray for the food. And the Bible says that food will be blessed. But if you don't bless the food, you might be eating and you choke, and before you can swallow, you die. And so what I do, I told you before, I pray for my food first, and I eat. When I finish my food, I thank God that you gave me grace to eat. There are priests, when they tell you, you are wrong, you don't like it. There is a pastor in Philadelphia, maybe he's still alive. His church member has the party in his church basement, and they are having liquor and all kinds of evil things they are doing. He went inside and he saw, and he went out. And I said, what happened? Did he say you people doing wrong? No, he just let them do themselves. I don't want to be part of them. And so tomorrow the church member can come to church. If you would have scold them, this is the house of God. Get out of my basement, go somewhere on the street and do it. You cannot do it here, then he will lose the members. So I said, this man is not doing the right thing. Galatians chapter 1 verse 10, he says, if I'm pleasing the man, I cannot be servant of God. So we are not here to please people, we are here to please God. But this Amaziah is the man pleaser. He pleasing the king. And he thinks kings is giving him pay. So he is getting the paycheck from king. And he said, who is this Amos came to my place? And now he is taking over my job. He said, hey, who made you priest? And he tried to stop him. Don't do it. So he is telling the man, don't preach here. You are from Judah. You are no business coming to Israel. You go to Judah and preach there. And don't come back here. Go and eat their bread. Our bread you're eating. That means you're eating our bread. You're drinking our water. So you should not be saying bad things to us. You go back to your country. Stay there. Eat their food. Drink their water. Don't come back here anymore. He is thinking he has the power. And he goes to King Amaziah and tells the lie. He tells the lie to the king. Whatever the man is saying, he is adding some more stuff and he is telling the king. But I don't see anything in this chapter that king comes and gives this man some kind of punishment. Let's read the verse 14. Amos chapter 7 verse 14.
Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruits. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go, prophesy unto my people Israel.
Now he is saying, Amos is saying to this Amaziah, the priest, you know what? You are the priest, and you thinking that king appointed you as a priest, but you are not doing anything according to the God's will. You are doing everything to please the king. But let me tell you, God made me a prophet. I was ordinary man. I was minding my business. I was taking care of my flock. And God says, follow me. And he said, I was not a beggar coming here to eat your bread and drink your water. You telling me to go to your country, go there and eat the bread. I was not a beggar. I was a businessman. I had a lot of money, lot of herds, lot of cattle, lot of fig trees. And I was doing my own business and I was minding my business. But I was not a crooked man. I was not cheating anybody. I was not doing anything wrong. If I was doing wrong, God would not call me. God will never call anybody who is committing sin. I never saw somebody was doing adultery and God say, hey, I want you to become and be my servant. No, you have to be repented. You have to be clean vessel. God will not use unclean vessel. That's why we have to be born again. That's why we have to be baptized. That's why we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Then God can use this vessel for his glory. Now this man, I'm talking about Amos, trying to tell him, you are not doing the priest job. You are not doing the prophet job. That's why God raised me. I was nobody. But now I'm here to tell you, I'm not here to eat your bread. God has provided. I don't know who was feeding him. You remember Elijah? He went to the sat in the brook and the raven is the thief. He steals your bread. But God used the thief to give the bread, and there was the first hamburger was invented. It's a bread and the meat. That's a hamburger. That's the first hamburger was invented by God. And then he ate and he drank and the water ran out. God says, okay, you are so lazy now sitting here and getting bread. I'm going to dry the water and raven will not bring any bread. What are you going to do then? And you know the story. So God can give you food and bread in your sleep. Same Elijah, you remember? He was running from Jezebel and sleeping, and angel comes and say, Elijah, get up, eat. And he ate and he slept again and say, Elijah, get up. You have to go for journey. And he ate the food. That's what the Bible says. My God gives his servant in a sleep. So don't worry about food. Don't worry about shelter. Don't worry about anything. I don't know how God was giving this Amos. But this man is saying, you are eating our bread and you are drinking our food. Get out of our town and go somewhere. And we don't want to hear this. And he is trying to stir up the king. And he is saying that you are going to die with the sword. Enemy will come and kill you. I want to see this one scripture. 2 Kings chapter 14 verse 29.
And Jeroboam slept with his fathers, even with the kings of Israel. And Zechariah his son reigned in his stead.
Now this is the Jeroboam. Amaziah is coming and saying, do you know what Amos is saying? You will be killed by sword. And your kingdom will be destroyed and everything he's saying. But the word of God says he did not die like so. He died like a natural death. Even though he was a bad king. The point I'm making, Amaziah was lying and talking to king to get his favor and kick the Amos out of the country so he will have more profit. And the king will be having more respect. Do you know what he said to king? You know, king, the Amos's word are so horrible, our country cannot bear this thing. I was thinking there was no loudspeaker. There were no telephone. There were no satellites. How his word went around the country and ringing the bell everywhere. Because he said, his word, our country cannot bear. is too heavy. Heavy duty stuff he's talking. And so they wanted to kick him out, but I did not see anywhere he's still there. When the people came and told Peter and John, don't preach here about Jesus. Get out of this town. What did they say? We should listen to you or we should listen to God? We have to know that God has called us with a definite high calling. If you are a believer, stand up for your rights in Jesus Christ. You have to say, I am a child of God and I'm not afraid of anybody. Because God has given us grace, we should not be doormat. Because you're a Christian, everybody has to kick you. No. You have to stand for your truth and you have to say, listen, I'm a child of God. And you see what this man of God has so much power. Amos, I'm talking about. When this man is coming and telling, get out of here, run for your life. Amos said, I'm not going to run. Let's read go back to the Amos chapter 7, verse 16.
Now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac.
Now he's saying, you telling me, don't preach, don't talk about Isaac. Isaac is talking about Beersheba and Bethel, Jacob. Now all this Beersheba and Bethel, they made those places like an idol worship place. And he's trying to say, don't you know your forefather is Isaac? Your forefather is Jacob? And you're talking bad about their places? Bethel is done by what you call the Jacob, and Beersheba was possessed by Isaac. So you're going against them? And so that's the kind of fear this Amaziah was putting in the heart of this Amos. But Amos says, I'm not going to be afraid of you. Let's read the verse 17.
Therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and thy land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his land.
Now, this Amos is saying, you telling me to run for my life? You telling me to go and eat the bread in Judah? Let me tell you, I was thinking how much power God has given to the man of God. When he said, thus said the Lord, he did not say anything by his own. Just like when you want to pray for somebody, don't be like a smart guy. Oh, I'm a pastor and I can do anything. And be healed. Doesn't work that way. You pray in the name of Jesus. You cast the devil in the name of Jesus. If you take your name or you're famous, nothing is going to work. There was a one man. He was a very famous. He was the founder of many churches. And he came to the town. And my pastor at that time was sick. And he had the stomach problem. He just came running. And boom, he put his hand on his stomach and went. And this man got more pain than before. And when this pastor went, he said, Brother Peter, could you please come and pray for me? And I laid hand on that pastor's stomach and prayed in the name of Jesus. Instantly, that man got healed. He says, now wherever I go, you come with me. And I went with him around India, everywhere, and did the healing services. The point I'm making, you cannot do because you are a big pastor and boom, somebody's stomach and people will get healed. You have to humble yourself. We are not the healers. Jesus is a healer. I tell people, I cannot heal one fly, but in the name of Jesus, I can cast out the demons. The name of Jesus, many miracles can happen. But if you leave the name of Jesus, you are nobody. That's why St. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So this man is saying, I say in the name of the Lord, thus said the Lord. What's going to happen? Your wife will be prostitute. I was thinking he might be loving his wife so much. So now is the time will come. Your wife will leave you. And when your wife leaves you and she becomes prostitute and you see, then you see somebody stabbing in your heart. One man says, my wife just told me I'm going to give a divorce. He said, just like somebody stabbed me. Said, I felt so bad that why in the world I'm taking care of this wife. I have giving, pouring the money in her lap and doing everything to please her. And why she's doing like this? So he said something like a stabbing me. So this is more than stabbing. He's saying, your sons and your daughters will be killed by sword. It's so painful. Sometimes your child is sick and dying. And what you say, if you are not a Christian, I'm just saying the worldly people, they will be, even though they are not Christian, they will say, oh God, I cannot bear this. Take me and give my rest of life to this child. I don't want to see this child dying like this. But here God is saying, okay, your sons and your daughters will be killed by sword in front of your eyes. You are trying to kick the man of God out of this land. The punishment is this. Your wife will be prostituted. Your children will be killed in front of your eyes. And in front of your eyes, you will be going in captivity. So this is it. The word of God says, do not touch my anointed. The people, sometimes they go back and talk somebody against pastor and do evil devices against the pastor. If the man of God is doing his work, what you're trying to do, you are trying to kick against the prick. When you say something bad about the man of God who is doing the Lord's work, you will be punished. So here this man comes, Amaziah, trying to kick the Amos out of the country and trying to tell him, you are the bad person, trying to get the influence from the king. He said, okay, I want to see if your king comes to help you when your wife is a prostitute. I want to see when your children are killed by sword, let the king come and help you. You may have the police officer a friend, or you may have a mayor as a friend, or you may have a governor as a friend, but if you break the law, you will be destroyed. How many mayors and how many governors, they broke the law and they have to pay the penalty. And sometimes they say, oh, nobody can do anything. And when they come into power, a governor or mayor or the city councilman or even the senators or something like that, and they do something wrong, and when somebody finds out, they can lose their job or they can go to jail. So the point I'm making, don't think that you know somebody, a police officer or governor or mayor, don't dwell on them. If God is not in your side, nobody can help you. Don't try to say, I have somebody to help. The word of God says, do not trust any man, do not trust any king. Trust the living God. Trust the Lord. If God is with us, or God is for us, who can be against us? The whole world can go one side. And if God is with us, we are majority. We are not afraid of anybody. And that's what I learned. When I am serving the Lord, I am not looking at any person or any man. I look at Jesus Christ. And that's why God is helping me. God is supplying my need. And so the man of God should not be trusting any king or any flesh. He should be trusting in God. And so I learned one thing. Like Amaziah tried to kick him out, Amos says, who are you? You want to see the tragedy coming? Your wife will be prostitute. Your children, your daughter and your son will die with the sword. Somebody says, why? What a horrible thing. Why did the man of God say it like that? He said, I'm not saying. He said, thus said the Lord. God told me to say this. And God is going to do it. And so, our God is love. And what? God is consuming fire. Shall we rise? Let's say to the Lord, Lord, if I did something wrong, I want you to forgive me. Wash me, cleanse me. I'm not going to carry my sins to the hell. And some people think, oh, nobody's watching. Pastor Peter doesn't know what we are doing in our house. Or I told Pastor Peter, I will not do this and I will not do that. But he is not in my house. God says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 13. What is he saying? There is nothing hidden in my eyes. Everything open and naked to my eyes. I never sleep. I never slumber. So you cannot run away from God. So this is the good time to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I don't want to run from you, but I will run to you. And so let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for giving us grace to come to the house of God. Give us grace like Amos, not to be afraid of anyone, but tell the truth. Give us grace to love our church, love our country, love our people, and tell them the truth. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us grace to stand for you and bringing many souls to the kingdom of God. And let each and everyone be busy doing your will. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.